All right, the Cubs did win over Colorado 6-3 today. So that is a big win for the Cubs. That gives them win number 81. And the Marlins, as I said, boy, they're in trouble, and their pitching has just been abysmal. Taking on the Brewers, who clinched last night, and the Marlins had a 4-0 lead in that one, a battle of three-run homers now. Santana just hit one off a puck. It is now, and Berger hit a three-run homer in the first, so it's now 4-4. The Marlins were ahead of that one 4-0, so it's 4-4 in the top of the sixth. So all these are important. Giants hanging in there with their 77 losses, hoping to get some losses on the teams that are ahead of them. Eric Gray joins us, a local author. He wrote a book called Backyards to Ballparks. It's his second one and very, very enjoyable. Eric, nice to have you on the show today. How are you?
I'm fine, Marty. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
No, we're very glad to have you. I know how hard you worked on this book. First of all, tell us about what was your experience in writing books before you got into Backyards to Ballparks, because this is number two for you.
This is number two, and both books are collections of people's personal baseball memories from actually stories from around the world and about baseball at all different levels, and it's mainly stories from, you know, everyday people. It's not filled with famous writers or ball players. It's just it's the way that books came about. It was just the stories from everyday people.
What got you interested in doing something like this? What's your baseball background?
Well, I'm a pretty big fan of baseball. A Giants fan now for sure. Still love the Mets because I'm from New York, and we go to a lot of games. And we're a big baseball family, as you well know. And one day we were just at a game, my wife Lynn and my friend Cheryl and, of course, your friend Rachel, we were all at a game together. And because of the way baseball is played, the pace, it gives you time to think and talk. And I just asked these people, what's your favorite game that you've ever been to, or what's your favorite moment at a game? And I just started asking people in a whole variety of ways. And I wound up, for the first book, I wound up with 1,250 stories from around the world. Yeah, and you know, at that point, I knew that there was going to be a second volume, and at that point, I just figured I needed to figure out a way to break up the stories so that the books would be of equal quality, and stories, there were so many that I knew I wanted to share.
How do you even pare it down? Of course, this is Eric Gray. Backyards to Ballparks, more personal baseball stories from the stands and beyond. The second book, the first one was Bases to Bleachers. So how do you even pare it down when you get that many stories from people?
Well, it was difficult. They went into a variety of categories, first of all, by chapter topics. But, you know, I had to look at the stories and determine which ones I didn't think were good enough to be used in any book. And it doesn't mean that I don't appreciate the fact that people were sharing their experiences with me. I mean, if somebody says to you, you know, I went to a ball game and I saw Barry Bonds get a home run, well, to you and me, that might not be that impressive, but perhaps it was the only game he's ever been to. And for him or her, that might have been a really spectacular moment. But I had to make the decisions how to do that. And between the two books, I've got approximately 600 stories that I've used.
Wow. Wow, Eric Gray with us. It's a lot of fun to read. It's one of those books you could pick up any page and you get a story. So what's the challenge in doing this? Now, of course, how do you even get the stories from people? Do you interview everybody or do they write them themselves and send them in to you? How does that happen?
Yeah, most of them are from email after I've made contact in a variety of ways, either meeting people on the street or through Facebook or friends of friends. Most of the stories did come to me by email. Many of the stories, not by any means most, have been given to me over the phone. The people would explain their story. They would give me the information, and then I would write it up and, of course, share it with them to make sure that I captured it properly. And as far as I'm concerned, if people just give me bullet points for a great story, I can, and I have, written them up. So collecting it is, again, mostly by email, but all people that I have come into contact with one way or another. The book is no stories in the book are things that I've read off the Internet. There had to be a personal connection between me and the other person.
Nice.
And I'm really, you know, it's important to say that the stories are from all different levels of baseball. They're not by any means all major leagues. Most of them are, of course, but there are minor league stories. There are little league stories. There are people in my softball league, you know, that contributed stories. It really is a very wide range of sources from which they came.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to ask you, if I asked you the question, what's your favorite baseball story? What would you tell me?
My personal favorite or the favorite one that's in this book?
No, your personal favorite. Let's get to you first. Then we'll find out some of the ones that people told you.
Okay. I would say that it's kind of a toss-up for me as a fan of a team or a player going to Mickey Mantle's retirement day. I was a Yankee fan back in those days. I was, I don't know, 17 years old. Going to that retirement day was very important to me. But from a personal level, taking my kids to their first game, and even more so when Matt Cain threw his perfect game. Matt Cain was all of our favorite player, and Lynn and I were watching in the den. We weren't even at the park. And Rachel was in the press elevator, and Dave was in an apartment in D.C. And as the game went on, we just were texting like mad, and it showed me that once again, baseball just had a way of connecting our family and how important baseball is to me.
Well, that's what baseball does for so many people. The book is terrific. It's a lot of fun. There's even a foreword by Barry Bloom. Our good friend Barry Bloom writes a very complete foreword to get you started in the book. Let's talk about some of the stories, the anecdotes that people told you. Give us an example, a flavor of some of the types of stories that you have.
Sure. What I tell people when they ask me what am I looking for, I will always tell them there has to be a story. It can't just be I was at an event. Because if you tell me I was at the game when Hank Aaron hit number 715, but that's all you say, you know, my thought is, well, good for you. That must have been wonderful, but there's no story there that's to share. However, I have a story from a man who, as a 12-year-old boy, was watching that game on television from Georgia, small town Georgia, as Aaron hit the home run and was running the bases. This man, a boy at that time, was running along the bases with him from the bookcase to the television to a chair to the couch. And it was that emotional telling of that story that just really floored me. And this man grew up to become, his name is Bob Kendrick, and he's the president of the Negro Leagues Museum. Every time I think of that story, I just get chills because it was just such a, you know, a lot in that story about, you know, whether people thought the record should be broken, whether people thought the record shouldn't be broken, you know, whether people didn't want, some people want a black man to break Babe Ruth's record. But it's a wonderful story. And I had the pleasure of meeting him for about 30 minutes at the museum. And that was great. There's a man named Frank Miller who lives in Dallas, Texas. And his story is one about during COVID, he wanted to have a catch and he didn't know anybody who might be able to. He wanted to try. He had read a book about pitching and the different kind of pitches you could throw. And he wanted to try out a curve and a slider. And he didn't know anybody who could catch those. And his wife made a post in the neighborhood app, and is how they gathered a bunch of people ranging from high school kids to a 73-year-old man from Queens, and how they all got together for all different kinds of reasons, including the chance to do something that they never thought that they would ever do again, which is to relive past glories. And it's about how the relationships, some of those relationships have continued.
So how do you find someone like that?
Well, that's an interesting one. I saw an article in the New York Times, and it was that story. And in this particular case, what I did is I wrote to the man who wrote the article. I asked him if he would put me in touch with Frank Miller. And he said, as it happens, Frank said anybody who wants to get in touch with him, he would be happy he should give them his email. I contacted Frank. We worked together on the story, changed it a little bit so that it wasn't mirroring what was in the Times article. I mean, it's all obviously, you know, the correct information, but we wrote it up differently. And so that's one of the few stories that I've gotten that I didn't first make a contact with somebody, and it was through the New York Times article.
Well, it's interesting. A lot of work goes into this book, and there's so many stories. I just opened the page. It says, Kevin Macho, Stansbury Park, Utah. How do you find someone in Stansbury Park, Utah, to give you a story?
Yeah, a lot of that was through Facebook. As I was putting the book together, being from New York but living in San Francisco, with my wife being from Chicago, we had a lot of Yankees and Mets and of course, Giants and Cubs stories. And I really wanted to broaden, you know, the scope of where stories were coming from. So I joined Facebook. And you and everybody else knows the, you know, the joys and the perils both of Facebook. And that's what really helped me broaden the scope of where the stories are from. In this book, and I was looking at this morning, there are stories from 43 states and seven different countries besides the U.S., and there is a story about a team or a player from the team in 28 of the current 32 major league teams, as well as from D.C. and from Montreal and the Washington Senators. So Facebook really did help me be able to get a much broader perspective.
Well, I'll tell you, you work hard. This is really a lot of fun to talk to you about it and also to read the book and read all these different stories, because you pick one up, and they're not long stories. They're anecdotal. You never know where that person's going to go, and that's what I always say about baseball. Everybody has a baseball story. That's what I've said for my 28 years of doing this. So even Rachel, I quote her. She gave me my favorite quote. Baseball is not rocket surgery. That's my favorite quote from Rachel, who's a wonderful, your daughter, a wonderful baseball fan. I enjoy seeing her all the time. I assume the book can be gotten at all the major outlets. We support the Book Tree up in Montclair. I'm sure David has it up there. And for everyone in the Bay Area, it is worth taking a look at. It's a lot of fun to read it. Eric, you did a good job with this. Thank you,
Marty. And if anybody is interested, you know, certainly in the Bay Area, is interested in getting a copy directly from me signed, for what that's worth, or coming to Book Talks, please email me at eric.baseballstories@gmail.com. I will be doing a bunch of talks. I really, really enjoy sharing these stories with people, watching them laugh at the right places, watching them tear up at the right places. So, you know, please, I encourage people to contact me if they wish, eric.baseballstories@gmail.
Very good. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's a lot of fun. I love the book. All right.
Thanks, Eric.
Have a good afternoon.
Thanks so much. You too.
You're welcome. Backyards to ballparks. More coming up. Bruce Jenkins next, right here on the Sports Leader.